One of the things in today's world, it's important to be connected, isn't it? We might be connected to friends, or the idea of being connected online, or staying connected. And I'm sure many of you have the frustration, like I have had this week, of plugging in your mobile phone into the charger, only to discover that the switch was off at the plug, and your phone wasn't charged when you came back later to it. And the idea, it wasn't connected as it should have been. And well, it's the same whenever we go to horticulture too, isn't it? Because, well, tree grafting, some of you maybe have done this in the past, is when you take maybe a branch of a different tree and you attach it to a receptive root of another tree to form a new tree or a new branch on the tree. You might refer to it as tree surgery, but probably isn't as complicated as medical surgery. And you can plant different species of the same plant into existing trees. So the orchards in County Armagh, they will have the Bramley apple trees, but often at the top they will have an Eton apple tree grafted into the top of the kirkers, because that will help with the pollination process that produces even more fruit. And well, you can plant different varieties of plant into a tree as well. And there's a man in America called Sam Van Aken, okay? And he has a tree, and hopefully it's going to come up on the screen, but it's no ordinary tree, okay? This tree, you'll see it's got different colours of blossom on it. Well, that's because there's over 40 different types of fruit grafted into that tree. So on that tree, it's called the Tree of 40 Fruit. It has peaches, plums, apricots, nectarines, cherries, all kinds of different fruit, all produced through this process of grafting. And it's actually artwork, is the way he describes it. So it's outside different art museums and so on. There's over 40 of them now produced. And he grafts the tree so that it produces artwork, apparently, whether it be in their blossoms or with their leaves, or whenever there's a particular fruit hanging from the tree. Some sort of strange fruity Frankenstein, isn't it? And well, all these people and these artists are in awe of this man, Sam. And well, what does he do? He's taking different parts and he's grafting it into the one tree. And that's exactly what God does with us, isn't it? He takes us and he grafts us into Jesus, into Christ. And what's the consequence of that is that we produce fruit, not all different kinds of fruit like apricots and nectarines and cherries, but gospel fruit. And as we look at just the first 11 verses of John 15 today, what is it about? Well, what I want to leave you with, we must be planted in Jesus to produce fruit for God's glory. You see, to be fruitful in the Christian life, we must be connected to Jesus. God is glorified when we are planted in Christ, producing fruit. And where are we in John's gospel? It's always important to know what Jesus is saying and where he's saying it, isn't it? Well, Jesus is speaking to his disciples in the upper room here. And that begins at the start of chapter 13. And that's where the conversation starts and gets going. Jesus has washed his disciples' feet. He predicts his betrayal, which will be Judas, and also Peter's denial already. He has said to them at the table, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." They have shared this Last Supper meal. And where is Jesus heading to? Jesus is heading to the cross. And as Jesus is preparing and comforting his disciples, in John 15, we have the final I am saying. So John's gospel, there's seven of these I am sayings. The bread of life, the light of the world, the resurrection of the life, the good shepherd, the way, the truth, the life, and now I am the true vine. Echoing back to Moses and the burning bush, where God said, "I am who I am." And when Jesus says, "I am the true vine," everybody gets it. It's such a strong image of Israel. And we thought about that, oh goodness, before Christmas in our Isaiah series, Isaiah 5 and Psalm 80. Whenever Jesus says, "I am the true vine," he's saying, "I am the true Israel. Through me, I am the true life source. Through me, you'll be fruitful for God's glory." And well, that's exactly what we are to be doing, isn't it? Producing fruit for God's glory. So with that line in mind, we must be planted in Jesus to produce fruit for God's glory. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." But what does he mean? What is Jesus talking about? Well, let's look at John 15 together. And the first thing is the reason for the branch, okay? The reason for the branch. So what is the reason for the branch? What is it? What is the branch's purpose in all of this? Well, verse 2, what does it say? That he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So if we flip that, the branches are to produce fruit. In verse 4, 5, and 8, we get the exact same thing. The branches are to produce fruit. The whole purpose, the whole reason for the branch is to be fruitful. We are the branches, and we are to be fruitful. If we are trusting in Jesus, we are to be fruitful. If we're not trusting in Jesus, we'll not be fruitful. How do these branches produce fruit? The branches must be connected to the vine in the story. But that's us connected to Jesus. The branches must be attached. Producing fruit is not a possibility for us if we're not connected to the vine of Jesus. In verse 4, Jesus says, no branch can bear fruit by itself. In verse 5, in Jesus, in the vine, we will bear much fruit. And how is this yield of fruit increased? Yes, if we're trusting in Jesus, we want to be fruitful. We want to produce fruit. But how does God increase the yield of fruit? Look at verse 2. So Jesus introduces, my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. See, in the Christian life, the reason for us, in a sense, is to be fruitful and to increase our fruit. God prunes us. There's this pruning by the Father. Jesus is the focus here, yes, but here we're told that the Father is also at work in each of our lives. He trims and prunes the branches. God carefully tends for the vine in order that the branches be even more fruitful. They will produce more fruit. So those of you who are into the gardening will know that there are different times of year when it's best to prune different kinds of plants, isn't that right? And sometimes pruning, you might laugh at some of these pruning because it looks really, really harsh, but maybe in 6 months' time, actually, it's come good. Now, the pruning wasn't as harsh as you thought, and the plant looks even better than before. And while the plant will continue to grow despite the harsh pruning, there are also times when pruning can go wrong, but here, we have this pruning by the Father, and it never goes wrong. This pruning of the Father is supposed to help with the plant's growth, and it does. Because the pruning is going to place the plant's energy into growing into the right areas to produce even more fruit. That is why the vineyards that you see, you know, all the lines and lines and lines, they're all nicely shaped. That's not just for the postcard photograph to send when you're on holidays. That's just so the grapes would be even more fruitful on the vine. See, God in his pruning always does it at the right time. It's never a disaster. In his pruning, God does use hard circumstances and trials. And we know these days for us are far from pleasant. They're often really painful days, aren't they? The pain might seem really harsh, but the pruning will produce fruit. John Stott says this, the harder the pruning, the greater the fragrance and beauty which will later be released. It's not amazing for us. Some of us have been in those really harsh moments of pruning. And I sat with you and you were able to say, the Lord's worked through that. And if you're sitting the really hard pruning going on in your life, just not a wonderful thought that the fragrance and beauty will be later released. We'll be even more fruitful. Pruning will hurt and it will pain us. But it always has a purpose that we be even more fruitful. God prunes so that the branches would bear more fruit. And while as Christians all will bear some fruit, and as God makes us more and more like Jesus, we will produce more and more fruit. The Father will prune through our circumstances, troubles in work or maybe even in school, the career plans that we have plotted out not going as we anticipated, our difficulties and personal struggles, our trials of sickness or strains and stresses of life, the opposition we might face in work or in school whenever we have to stand up for Jesus, suffering through ill health, the frustration of lack of progress in our own walk even perhaps, individual and collective troubles. Why do we go through it all? How we be even more fruitful. The really hard times in life, God is sovereign over all. And in his fatherly care, in his pruning, he carefully and expertly does it so that we produce fruit. It's not like me having to go up pruning a tree or a plant. But God expertly does it. Because what's about to happen to Jesus and the disciples, do you remember? The disciples, we know Jesus is going to the cross. They're about to be left lost and confused, aren't they? They're not actually going to understand initially what happened to Jesus. They are torn apart. They separate themselves. But aren't they so, so fruitful later? Let it be an encouragement to you that despite the hard days of the past or the current ones, you will produce more fruit when we're planted in Jesus. And some of you are able to look back and reflect on that, that that is true. You can testify to that. And well, what is this fruit? It's not success in life or big career progression or a fat account. It's not even just about turning up here, though that's part of it. But this fruit is to be seen. It's the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? That those Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All these different character traits that can be found in all Christians, all people who believe in Jesus. No matter how long we've been trusting in Jesus, whether it's a really short time or a really long time, or no matter our role within the church, all of the God's people trusting in Jesus will produce that fruit. We have these traits of God's work in us. That's the fruit. Fruit is the evidence of faith in Jesus. But fruit, it's not solely found or solely produced on the plant, sure it's not. Fruit is not produced by the branch. It is simply found on the branch, isn't that right? And as is in the Christian life, we the branches do not produce the fruit of ourselves, but the fruit is simply found on us. So we have the reason for the branch to be fruitful. What is the resource of the branch then? Our second R. You see, the branches receive life from the vine, and the vine produces the fruit on these branches. If the branches of a vine receive life from the vine, where is it as Christians we receive life? Where do we draw our resources from then? People will often say, don't they, that they maybe conjure up or draw from their inner strength, or I can muster all I can within me to get through a day or to finish a project or something. People might say that they draw their strength, or what gets them going is that first cup of coffee in the morning, and sometimes they're joking, sometimes they're not. Or people might draw from their own experiences to help them to be more productive. Sports people in those really intense moments, maybe like a marathon runner who's about to go through the brick wall, or a boxer in the middle of a fight, what do? They will say that they will bring up in their back of their mind for extra motivation, maybe their family or all that maybe they've been through as a child, all the sacrifices that they've made, especially a boxer, if maybe they had a really tough upbringing and have their own family, they want that, it gives them an extra motivation, they say, whenever they think of their own children and they don't want to have a life like they had. But what does Jesus say? He doesn't say that it comes from within us, does he? How is it that we as branches are to produce fruit? Where are we to draw our strength? Verse 4, remain in me, or abide in me. See, the resource for each of us, for each of the branches, is to abide in Jesus. A branch does not have life in itself. It is utterly dependent on water and nutrients. It's dependent on the vine transporting it to the branch for life and its fruitfulness. And Jesus helps us. He makes it really clear in case we're getting muddled up in his pictures that he's talking about. He simply says there in verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. Jesus is giving himself to us. His life is flowing into us. So when things go belly up or things go wrong, we remember we're not just connected to ourselves, we're connected to Jesus. When it feels as though we're being pruned, we are connected to Jesus. See, who gives us the grace and strength for each day? It's Jesus. For every occasion and every day, we are to abide in Jesus. Do not rely or count on something else. Who do you turn to, or what do you turn to? Make sure it's Jesus. Jesus will never let us down. He'll never run out of nutrients for us. When we come to Jesus, we will be planted and rooted in him. We will be grafted into his life. He is the one who provides for all of our needs. Jesus is the vine, not us. And that's so relieving for each of us. We don't need to carry any weight or burden. We can simply just come to Jesus, and we are fed by him. Abide, make Jesus your home. And as we abide in Jesus, he tells us that he will abide in us. But he also tells us something else in verse 7. How are we to get this life source from the divine? What is the resource of the branch? Well, yes, it's Jesus. We are to abide in Jesus. But look at verse 7. What is it Jesus says? If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. If my words remain in you. We need God's word in us. His words, not just a feeling, but his words living in us, knowing them and trusting them, opening our Bibles to look at Jesus and his word. Knowing God's word helps us whenever we feel as though we're being tempted, just like Jesus used God's word and he was tempted, that we can draw not from within ourselves to resist temptation, but on the sword, God's word. When we feel discouraged or anxious, how do we manage? Well, we draw from God's word because it is to remain in us. But if the branch is not connected to the vine, there is no fruit. So there's not. It makes perfect sense. If you chop an apple branch off an apple tree and left it lying, there would be no fruit next year. See, if we're not abiding in Jesus and his words are not abiding in us, what we show is that we're not connected to Jesus at all. We need to be trusting in Jesus. Because in verse 2, what does Jesus say? He says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. God removes the dead wood so that the living fruit-bearing branch may have more room for growth and produce more fruit. See, these branches that Jesus is talking about have never bore fruit before. In verse 6, what does Jesus say? Those branches that do not remain in Jesus end up in the fire. See, as Jesus is around the Lord's table, if you like, the Last Supper meal in this upper room, is it possible that Jesus is thinking about Judas? Because Judas has just left him. Judas is about to betray Jesus very shortly, and it will become very clear and evident that Judas was never really part of the vine at all, was he? Judas is a withered and dead branch. Judas produced no fruit. And if you're not trusting or connecting in Jesus or to Jesus, you will not bear fruit. Because from the outside looking in, you would say all of Jesus' disciples would have been connected to him, wouldn't you? As we looked in, it looked like Judas was connected to Jesus. But the reality was he wasn't. Make sure you're connected to Jesus. Not just the comfort. Not just connected to Jesus through mom and dad or somebody else, but be connected to the man himself, Jesus. Because without him, you will do nothing. That's what he says. Now, of course, you'll be able to do a whole lot, but you can work and have fun, but there'll be a life without Jesus, and it would be meaningless. The resource for the branch, the resource for all of life is in Jesus. Life in all of its fullness is in him. And to be fruitful, we need to continue to abide in Jesus. And his words abide in us. The reason for us is fruitfulness. And the resource is not our education, it's not our family connections, or even a good church. But the resource is Jesus and his word. He is the resource for life. He is the source of all our fruitfulness. It's Christ who supplies all the nutrients, the goodness that we need. We need to come to Jesus often, don't we? In his word, in prayer, and with one another. We must be planted in Jesus to produce fruit for God's glory. We have the reason, the resource, and then finally, the result of the branch abiding. Apple trees produce what kind of fruit? Apples. Pear trees produce pears. Each tree will produce its own particular fruit, unless you're that fruity Frankenstein from earlier. And when we're resourced in Jesus, we will produce the right fruit. When we abide in Jesus, what is the result? Yes, we've thought about this throughout, isn't it? It's a fruitful life. Whenever we're abiding in Jesus, the result is that we'll have a fruitful life. A life that we've been thinking about. A life that's got really nothing to do with us at all, but all the outworking of God's grace in our lives. And what does that look like? Well, just a couple of things. Verse 10. What does it look like whenever we're abiding in Jesus? We simply obey him. In verse 12, we didn't read that, but if we're abiding in Jesus, what does it look like? We love each other. And then later in verses 26 and 27, what does it look like whenever we're abiding in Jesus? Verse 27, and you also must testify for you've been with me from the beginning. We will talk to people about Jesus, that we will testify about him. But we also have, so I want to think about, a fruitful prayer life in verses 7 and 8. Fruit is a consequence of prayer. You ever think of that? The fruit, the gospel fruit that we see, is a consequence of prayer in the Christian life. And God will answer it. If we're connected to the vine, we are more and more like Jesus. What does that mean? We pray more and more like Jesus, more and more in line with his will. And because we are abiding in Jesus and he is us, we are asking for the same thing. So that's why Jesus says, ask whatever you wish. Because as we become more and more like Jesus, we're wishing the same things as Jesus is wishing. If we continue to abide in him, we'll increasingly pray with what he wants. The fruit of a branch abiding, it's not that we can say, what an amazing branch. We can look at people's lives, can't we, and say, what an amazing Christian, what an amazing person. But that isn't our reaction supposed to be. Our reaction is to be, what an amazing God. Why? Look at verse 8. What does Jesus say? All this fruitfulness, all this coming to me and looking to me and remembering my word to you, what's it all for? This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Whenever we look at our own lives, we're not to say, well, haven't I done well with that particular sin? We're to say, what an amazing God. Through his work in us, as we remain in him, as he prunes us, as God carefully tends for us, he provides the life source for us that is Jesus. He'll be glorified. Despite of all of our sin, all of our shortcomings, all the wrong decisions that we've made throughout our lives, thinking we can rely on ourselves rather than God, despite all of that, whenever we are planted in Jesus, somehow, through all our sinfulness, God is glorified through us. That's the result. That's the purpose of our abiding and our fruitfulness. Not that people can say, wow, look at La Comfort Church. Isn't that church great? But they're to say, isn't that God great? God is glorified. The result of abiding in this branch of producing fruit is so that God is glorified. And our fruitfulness is just a part of the way in which God brings glory to himself. What an incredible thing. Weak, sinful people like me and you, as God works in our hearts, as he produces fruit in us, that he would be glorified, that others would see and would want to know Jesus. When we abide in Jesus, the result is that he is glorified. But also when we abide in Jesus, there's also something for us. In verse 11, that our joy would be complete. Obedience, our fruitfulness, is not boring, but actually remaining in Jesus will bring us joy. Joy in this world is shallow, unfulfilling, and fleeting. But this is God's joy, which he gives to us. A life of complete joy in the love of Jesus, one that we will experience in all of its fullness in the future. But here we have a contentment that overrides every difficult circumstance. Joy in our security and our confidence in Christ. See, this joy that we will have through Jesus is going to attract others to him. That we would have God's joy and that our joy would be complete. It's just mind-blowing in so many ways. Whenever we help someone, we maybe get a sense of satisfaction or joy out of that. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, the writer tells us that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. The joy. Jesus endured the cross. The joy. What? That he would bring his people to himself. And that joy that is in Christ's heart, can you imagine the joy that Jesus had? It's hard to imagine, but that is our joy. What is it that Jesus says? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. The joy that is in Christ's heart, whenever he dies on the cross for sinners like us, that is the joy that he gives to us. Not the joy of a human life, but this full joy in Jesus. His workings within us, he is that very source of joy. And the result is, yes, God will be glorified, but we will have joy. When we abide in Jesus, we can truly know that we belong to him. We are full of his joy, and we will produce his fruit. But if we're not abiding in Jesus, If we're not trusting in Jesus, what is it that Jesus says in verse 2? Well, Jesus says that you're cut off. Verse, I think it's 6, you're thrown into the fire. They aren't his. Those who bear no fruit are just dead wood and were never really part of the vine to begin with. Be connected to the vine, Jesus. Have you been grafted into Jesus like all those different kinds of fruits in the tree at the start? Are you really part of the vine? Turning up here does not make you part of the vine. Taking communion even, or being baptized, doesn't make you part of the vine or one of the branches. Relying on mom and dad or being good doesn't make us one of the branches. We must be planted in Jesus to produce fruit for God's glory. We draw life from him. Folks, will you abide in Jesus and in his word as he abides in us? If we have trusted in Jesus, you know, all those branches that produce fruit, those who are connected to Jesus, you know, Jesus doesn't talk about them not producing fruit anymore. Jesus doesn't talk about them falling off. Once we're planted and rooted in Jesus, that position is utterly secure for each one of us. In Jesus, we cannot die. In Jesus, we will produce fruit all to his glory. And we'll leave the final word to Jesus before we sing. What does Jesus say? I am the true vine. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Let's stand to sing.